Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Money in the bank.
Money in the bank. We have got money in the bank. A small amount of money.
That's true. You can help put more money in our bank.
Put more money in our bank.
By typing into Google, Big Cartel Wrestle Me. Yes. We've got a little merch store.
We got any left after that? Our absolutely rollicking performance at the London Podcast Festival.
People talk about, like, oh, CM Punk. They had this t-shirt. It's the biggest seller of all time. Our Hazermania t-shirt. After 24 hours after the live show, there was one left.
Right.
How many did we print? Doesn't matter. Makes it sound less impressive in a lot of ways. 15.
I very much like the fit of the medium. I had the medium, and I have got a little belly now. Yeah. I'm still quite broad from some working out I did about 5 years ago.
Real broad bean. Real broad bean.
So it kind of offsets the gut a little bit, but it has enough capacity for a little bit of gut.
Nice.
And a little bit of shoulder.
Yeah, I saw you walking through the streets of King's Cross the following morning, drinking a latte, wearing a mask, a face mask. That was. Do you know, I saw on a bus today.
What?
I saw on a bus today, there was an advert for a podcast. Yeah. Oh, someone's got a budget.
Oh, budget.
And it was called the On The Fence Podcast.
Okay.
And it is one made by my local council, Camden. And it was saying, are you on the fence regarding getting the vaccine?
Right.
It said, so if so, download our podcast. I don't think it's going to change any minds.
No.
But I did think, why didn't Camden just give us like $3,000? And we could just get your fucking vaccine.
Get your fucking vaccine,
you
pricks.
Haven't got your vaccine, get your fucking vaccine.
Well, if I think I know what podcast studio they've used to record this.
Mm.
It always makes me giggle, right? There are certain people in this world who have bought 4 Shure microphones.
Yeah.
And they've put them in a very lovable, massive room. And they've bought one of those little on-air signs.
Yep.
And they're hiring out for $100 a pop an hour. And it looks like one of those places. And I look at that and I sort of go, that sounds awful. That's absolutely, this is just the sound quality.
Look, everyone
awful.
Listening to this will be going, but surely, I mean, Shure are a performance and a directional mic.
Yes.
Yes. Of course they are.
Yeah, but they're designed to be used in studio environments.
Yeah.
Not just in a fucking trading estate.
Also by professionals.
So I'm very much looking at that going, they've cheaped out on the record. There, it looks
like a
green room that we're having a chat in, but they've just got 4 youngsters from Camden, aged 18 to 25, and they're having a chat about fucking vaccines.
I wonder if any of those people on that panel are very anti-vaccine. I don't think they will
secretly.
Be. I think it'd be hilarious if all 4 of them were, and Camden made a really big error.
Why do we invite these people for crying out loud?
Well, it wasn't what we wanted, but the problem is we've paid for the studio now.
Here we go, Camden. This is what our vaccine podcast would sound like. Hi, I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm a Camden resident, and I get that muck in my arms. I want that vaccine very much. Thank you very much.
I'm Mark Haynes. I live in neighbouring Haringey, which is actually got higher numbers of problems than Camden. And when it comes to the vaccine, I would say, you know, you don't know what's in it.
It's just muck.
You don't know what's in it.
I have heard there's diesel in there.
The thing is, why does the government want you to have a vaccine?
You know, why?
Why?
They want to control you.
They want to control you.
And they want to stop you driving in the congestion charge zones.
I've got one friend who's a bit like, I'm concerned about vaccine passports.
It's a recent conversion to the QAnon-y kind of side of the internet.
He's got a thing of just sort of going, I mean, you know, I just don't want people to know where I'm. You don't go anywhere. You don't. Go anywhere.
Oh, what? So it's about going to.
Yeah.
They know anywhere.
Oh,
your passport. I refuse to have vaccine passports. Have you got a passport? Yes.
Have you got a mobile phone? It's different. I'm like, they're going to go, oh, I see Haynes, you know, from Haringey, target number 75456. I see he's gone to Gales again this morning for his coffee, like he does every day. Note it down in the big book.
Yeah.
We've really got him on this one.
Wow.
Oh, man.
People really do have a high opinion of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, anyone gives a flying fuck.
Yeah, completely.
Oh, dude, my phone's listening to me. When I was talking about beds, they started advertising beds to me. What? They're gonna record you saying beds, send it to a server, and they're going to do this with 16 million people every fucking 5 seconds. Yeah. I talk about beds. Sell them some beds.
I typed in the word want to buy bed on Facebook, and an advert came up saying want to buy bed. I'm going to burn the government down. That is a good bed, though.
After I've had this lovely sleep.
Yeah. My Twitter is full of wrestling stuff, and that's because those are the accounts I follow.
Wrestling stuff, Japan stuff, just quirky photography accounts.
Yeah.
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 Like Shibuya in the 80s.
Oh, that's nice.
Lovely stuff.
I follow a lot of Flashback London ones. I like those.
Yes.
Going, oh, remember when London was beautiful before you were born? Look at it now.
Look at all those white faces. Better, wasn't it? Better. We used to have seahorses on every corner. What are you talking about? I don't know.
When was the last time you were in London? I'd never go to London. What's Sadiq Khan's London?
What I like about people who are fucking fascists, they always sort of go, just arrived in London. Glad I don't live here, because it's like, you don't live it, so don't worry about it. You're arriving. You're not a regular.
Yeah,
you're a fucking bumpkin. Fuck off.
There's also something funny about those people who do that, and you sort of have that thing of going, well, you're obviously not going to a nice bit of it, are you? It's not like you're sitting there in Mayfair going, glad I don't live here. Well, I mean, if you did, you'd be a billionaire.
Yeah,
you would.
You.
Oh, mate. My brother-in-law had a right pop at London the other day over the Geronimo the Alpaca story.
What's that guy do in London? That wasn't in London, was
He'd
it?
He'd heard a joke on Radio 4's news quiz or something. And it was basically, I mean, it's a witless show. Witless show.
There's a lot of Radio 4 where you sort of go, there's not even any jokes anymore.
Yeah. Oh,
references.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this one was basically, the joke was the story of the alpaca who was destroyed for having TB, which is what we do with animals for TB. It's well known.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, because otherwise you get a big pandemic. Something which we can understand now can be devastating.
You'd think that this year people will be more understanding
about
the execution of animals that will kill everyone.
Yeah. Also, that thing about one alpaca. I mean, just think of what like a pig abattoir is like every hour of the day, you know. So this alpaca thing, it came up on one of these Radio 4 shows, and somebody said along the lines of, well, I guess we know what an alpaca is now, which we didn't before. And my brother-in-law looked at that and he went, fucking London-centric joke. And his thing is, I live in the countryside, so I know what an alpaca is. And he's like, but they have to direct this to London audiences in their London bubble.
To not know what an alpaca is.
Yeah, and I thought, that is a weird way to hate on London.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The news quiz does a joke that goes, we know what an alpaca is, and you go, this is fucking Haringey's fault.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not white whales and sheep. It's not like we've got an abundance of alpacas rocking around, surely.
No, exactly.
If you think, like people who live in the country see horses, sheep.
Yeah.
Pigs, maybe.
And like, you know, the other thing is, it's you know, regionalist humour is absolutely the shit.
Yes.
And when you've got that thing of going, you know, someone going, I come from Cardiff, and people going, sheep shagger, shagging your sheep. It's so fucking witless.
Mm.
But the leap of imagination to go from an alpaca's destroyed to going, I think London should be buried. You know, just bizarre.
Oh,
I heard a story and I forgot it on the last show and I need to tell you it very badly, Pete.
Okay.
I met a guy whose name is very memorable because he very kindly helped me out on it. He told me a brilliant story and he said, you'll remember who told you this story because you were told it by R. Kelly.
Oh, wow.
That has stuck in my head. He's Ryan Kelly.
Ryan Kelly.
And
right.
Ryan is, he lives in London. Now knows what an alpaca is. And he comes originally from Belfast. And he was telling me a story that was so good, Pete. You're going to love this. He went to see SmackDown in the mid-2000s. Yeah. And he went with his mum because she was really like keen on the wrestling. And so they went and saw the show. It was all very good. And they got a cab back afterwards.
Yeah.
And I'm debating about whether to do the accent. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Have a go. You're quite good at them.
Welcome to my cab. No, I haven't got it yet. Warming up. Welcome to my cab. No. Yeah, hang on. Okay. So they get in the cab.
Right.
And the driver says, so, have you been down the wrestling? That's strong, isn't it? That's too
strong.
Yeah,
it's all right. That's all right. It's fine, yeah.
Have you been down the wrestling? And they say, yes, we have. We've had a great time. And he says, do you want to know what great Carly eats? And they say, yes. And he says,
alpacas?
My wife does the catering for the WWE when they come into Dublin.
Right.
In Belfast, rather. They come to Belfast. And they said, so what does he eat? He went, this morning, my wife made him 40 baked potatoes. 40 baked potatoes?
That's too many, Carly. I don't care how big you are.
How do you even serve them?
You'd be asleep for 3 days after that.
It does explain a lot.
It does explain a lot. Stop eating fucking 40 baked potatoes, you
dip. If they gave him a normal meal, maybe he'd be like, oh, you know what? Off, I can really move.
I feel really light on my feet.
I'm so sorry I've wasted the last 3 years by eating 40 baked potatoes for a meal.
Oh, lordy. Yeah, well, you get to 39, you go, one more.
Why would it be a round number?
Yeah.
Why, you've done this a lot. You must go, oh, do you know what? I only eat 12 of them. You know? I'll order 13 so that I'm not hungry if they're small. But specifically, it's got to be 40. Does it matter what size they are, big or small? Can we? If they're bigger, should we? No.
40. Get it down.
40
get
of whatever
down,
they are.
Good God.
Apologies to Ryan there for that accent, which was not good.
I thought it was good. No, that was perfectly serviceable.
Ignorant, Pete. Very ignorant. Let's crack on with Money in the Bank 2020. Right, we're on then. The second match. This is Bobby Lashley versus R-Truth, although it starts off as MVP versus R-Truth. R-Truth comes out, and this is a golden period for R-Truth, really. The last few years, he is basically playing someone who is deluded and mad, effectively.
Yeah.
So he comes out doing his normal rap, which he would normally do, and an audience would shout everything back, but he's doing it in an empty room. And I like this because they're doing a nod to the fact that circumstances have changed.
Mm.
And R-Truth comes out, does exactly what he normally does, and doesn't seem to realise there's no crowd. So he begins to sort of go, what's up? And he wants people to shout, what's up? And when he holds the mic up, he reacts as if they've done it. And he's just like, that's what I'm talking about. And I really like that sort of, you know, he's not quite there.
I think R-Truth is a real diamond in this whole show. Yeah. He turns up later on. Again, just deluded. I think he's a cracking at laughter.
He is. And you see little bits about this where you go, you can play to certain characters' strengths during a pandemic. And one of those is R-Truth has a genuinely lovable and delightful and sort of funny persona.
Mm.
And what it doesn't need is it doesn't need a big crowd to be laughing along because he does it so well. He is, to me, I call him Reverse Quake. And he's the Reverse Quake because at this point, he's 49 years old.
Jesus Christ.
So he's nearly 50.
Fucking
he's nearly 50.
When was his kind of like heyday?
He looks like he is in his early 30s.
God.
He is absolutely the opposite of Earthquake.
His name is Ron Killings.
His name is Ron Killings, yeah. He was raised in Charlotte in North Carolina. And from a very young age, he loved hip hop and break dancing. Very into those two. Mm. At high school, he competed in football and track and field events. And he was very talented at both sports. He got a lot of college scholarships offered to him.
Mm.
But instead, he graduated high school at the age of 18 and decided to dedicate himself to having a music career. Within a couple of years, he was selling cocaine on the streets for extra income. And he continued dealing drugs for much of his early 20s in an attempt to basically set himself up financially and continue trying to make music.
Right.
He was arrested on 4 different occasions. He spent small amounts of time in jail before he finally was given a longer sentence of 13 months, which he served. There's a famous photo of him that does the rounds on the internet where he is standing with Tupac Shakur.
Right.
And he looks like a cross between Kid and Play and Doc Brown from Back to the Future. He looks like... The funny thing is, his face is exactly the same. And so you look at it and it's like he's a time traveller.
Oh, he's got like kind of half bleached hair, like a kind of... He does. He's really in a scar.
You can tell it's early 90s because he's got that sort of neon, sort of strange, almost like MTV jacket on.
Yeah.
But he's a man who obviously has seen some life. When that prison sentence finished, he was in his mid-20s and he met a guy called Jackie Crockett from the NWA, one of the Crockett family. I don't quite understand the circumstances in which they met, but Jackie Crockett met him at a halfway house that he was in after being released from prison.
Mm.
And Jackie Crockett just said, you should become a pro wrestler. Ron Killings then spent a couple of years more trying to keep his music career afloat. And when he realised it wasn't going to happen, he went back to Crockett. He contacted him once more and said, I think I'd like to be a pro wrestler.
Mm.
And it all started from there. So in the 2000s, he was working in I think he started in 1997, working in very small promotions, a place called NWA Wildside he saw a lot of action in. He was signed by WWE in 1999. After a year of training, he went to the main roster in 2000. He was part of a tag team with Road Dogg under the name K-Quick. And then he moved to TNA, where he had a really good run. He won their championship between 2002 and 2007. He was a sort of semi-main eventer, stroke occasional main eventer.
Mm.
And the WWE picked him back up in 2008. And he's now been there ever since. He is one of the longest-serving active members of the roster now, having been there for, what is it, nearly 15 years.
Yeah.
On his second run there. Since he's become a wrestler as well, he's actually been able to release two albums, which is a delight. It's obviously the thing that means a lot to him. He released Invincible in 2004, which oddly he spelled Invincible with an E before the A, so it's got the word Vince in it. And I can never tell whether that's wrestlers sort of going, this will appeal more to the market if I make it sound like it's about wrestling.
It's about wrestling, yeah. Right, yeah.
That came out in 2004. The cheapest one of those, it was self-released, cheapest one of those on Discogs is £48. So it's hard to find.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you only release a few.
His track list, track one, I'm mad. Track three, I got issues. Track four, I got that flavour.
He's got everything.
Track five, what's my name? Track six, still getting rowdy. And track eight, I'm mad, remix. So
that's bolstering the
One of the things that you notice in his intro when he's doing this song and everything, he's not got a lovely voice.
No, he's really not.
It's quite rough.
It's worth following MVP on Instagram as well, who also is a bit of an aspiring musical star. His last sort of single or piece of music he put out is and was awful. But the video, he's clearly got someone to do like 3D graphics and 3D approximations of himself rapping and, you know, different scenes and stuff. It looks like shitposting. It looks like genuine kind of like trying to be shitposting. It's well worth it.
There is something funny about if you approach any sportsman and say, look, I've got $6,000 for you. Will you come in and record a single? They will all go, you don't even need to pay me. This
I'll
is something. I've got my notebook full of my ideas. Is that one of my really early jobs in TV was I had to storyboard and direct a music video for the snooker player Jimmy White.
Yeah, did we talk about this on Looking Picture? Or did we talk about this on it? Because I remember you brought in the CD. I think I've got somewhere.
Yeah, I don't have a copy of it anymore. Now? It was called Minted.
Oh, I bought one off eBay, that's right.
That's no, it, yeah. And that was exactly like it, where Jimmy White, I mean, they did the single, and the people who did it, they were very, very sure it would definitely be at number one for 16 weeks. And it was just
Can't
him going,
stop the hurricane.
I'm minted. And they have that thing of going, there is a built-in fan base, so we know that this will sell some copies.
60-year-old men.
It's never worked before. It worked with Diamond Eyes by Waddle and Hoddle, and that is it. Nothing
that was a
else
banger.
Is it Diamond Eyes or Diamond Lights?
Diamond Lights.
Lights, yeah.
Darling, I love you. Oh. These Diamond Lights.
I'd love it.
I'll never meet you. It's
email,
a good song.
Day this goes out, offering you $6,000. Hoping to get some of that tailwind from the Ramble sort of fans. His second album was called Killing It. By the way, which was 2016, should have been called Killings It, shouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. That makes more sense.
Just funnier. Mm. The thing that really changed R-Truth's career, he was sort of going nowhere. He was a lower card talent. You know, he was almost being phased out. Was they brought in the 24/7 championship.
Mm.
And that is a belt that is you can fight for at any time.
Mm.
You just need to have a ref with you. And they run it as a sort of joke belt. A little bit like the hardcore belt, except it's comedy, really, rather than anything serious.
Mm.
R-Truth pinned the champion at the time, Robert Roode, on the first day it came out, I think.
Right.
And it made him the first WWE superstar to win both the 24/7 and the hardcore belt. You need longevity to have been able to hold the hardcore belt. That disappeared a long time ago. Mm. But what they did was they really sort of went, this isn't just a title that people fight for. This is our truth belt. Mm. And so he has subsequently he's held it. He's a 53-time 24/7 champion.
That's nice. I like it.
It was the first of just 12 people to hold that belt for longer than 24 hours. he loses it to celebrities and then wins it back. Mm. So he gets a nice sort of... I have a feeling that when he goes or when he decides to retire or whatever it will be, they will just say, take your belt with you. And then there will be occasional appearances when he's in his 70s where he comes back and people chase him and he manages to get away with it. And I think that's a really sweet thing to do. MVP is back in this as well. He looks amazing. Got a sort of outfit on that's slightly inspired by Black Panther, I think.
Yes.
Got a good look about him. When old people come back with modern things, it really works, you know, and he looks like he's aware of what's going on in the world, you know, and he looks great. That slightly salt and pepper hair. Mm. He's in exactly the same condition as he was before. But what they've done with MVP is they've gone, let's not expose him. We're not going to put him in a 20-minute match. No one cares. So what they've done is they bring him in here. He gets to do this quite embarrassing bit where they're talking about balling, where they're showing each other basketball things. And in an empty room, that just seems like you're watching a rehearsal for an improv show.
Yeah.
It really is sort of like sticky and eggy. And you want to sort of step in and go, guys, okay, I don't think that's going anywhere. now you're going to be a florist and you're a member of a right-wing group. Go.
And then.
Yes, and.
Yes, and.
yeah. I'd love to do improv where everyone just says no. And people sort of say, yeah, but it just gutters down, doesn't it? It just stops it. What's the point? It's derailed it.
Good.
I don't want to see improv.
I don't want to see any improv. Awful.
They basically have Bobby Lashley then come down and they have a bit where R-Truth is sort of like not aware of the danger and he's just talking away and he sort of says, hey, it's a whole wide world. And he slaps Lashley across the face by accident. No need for that. Just have Lashley come in and kill him.
Yeah,
that's exactly all you need.
He really lays a big old spear on
He does.
Absolutely. It was sloppy but fun.
It was. And after watching the last WrestleMania where Bobby Lashley loses to Aleister Black, what you can see here is them going, okay, do you know what? Let's actually push Lashley. Let's do this properly. Mm. And this is the first step in that. You take someone who's a little comedy character and you have the big guy bully him and beat him really quickly, not giving him any quarter or any kindness. Mm. You know, that's a perfect way to start building up a bad guy.
And MVP's there for some bloody reason.
Yeah, MVP will be the manager.
Right.
So they are working together. And I think, you know, that was a good combination. There was always the problem that Bobby Lashley is so bad on the mic. But oddly, when they began saying to him, you know, we're going to book you well and not have you lose and we're going to give you wins. And Bobby Lashley just needs confidence.
Yeah.
And with the confidence has come the ability to do good promos that are very in character, where he's just serious and he's just like, I'm going to absolutely walk through you. Mm. And that's all you need. You can use Bobby Lashley's strengths, which are he's slightly humorless. Yeah. He doesn't seem to be very verbose. And you can just make that into something that's, you know, I mean, he's been one of the most improved performers over the last year. Mm. And it's been really nice to see. Finally, you know, he's getting that run. Mm. A little bit like Mark Henry, that it took Mark Henry 10 years to actually sort of go, I now know what I am.
Mm.
Bobby Lashley's always been just on the precipice of what that is. And it's only been in the last year, you know, the age, the wisdom, the understanding of the business, the confidence in the business that he's really nailed it. And it's great to see. Really pleasing. We get a little talk with Baron Corbin. I forgot. The first talk we get is with Lacey Evans.
Yes.
WWE last week was valued as a $4 billion company.
Mm-hmm.
And for this little promo they do with Lacey Evans, they have obviously sent a camera to her house and got her husband to film her sitting in part of the house that has no, like, as few distracting features as possible. So they look like they're in a laundry room.
Yes.
And from where she's sitting, I think she's sitting on the floor, because otherwise the window would be 7.5 feet up the wall.
Yeah.
So I think she's sitting on the floor in their laundry room. She's got her gloves on and a big hat like an egg yolk.
Yeah, they had to post them to her.
It was. I mean, she is good, but as we say, I think we both find this a disgusting gimmick.
It's kind of, I mean, especially because, like, she had a legitimate kind of military career.
Yeah,
she's just this belle.
Yeah,
it's just kind of weird.
And when you see her in the match, they don't play up to this particularly. And she's actually really good. She's really physical, and she runs brilliantly when she's running through the building. You sort of go, she does run like a marine. You know, she really is sort of frightening. But when you see see her doing this, like fanning herself, you know.
Wow. It's like wilting kind of, it's just like, it's not, it doesn't really fit in with her, how she wrestles. Really.
Not at all, not at all. She's sort of dressed like she's going to fucking Ascot and she's all, she's all just like, you know, she's doing a lippy and stuff. And it's just like that attempt, not an attempt, I mean, she is a very feminine woman, but that attempt to sort of go, well, I do this, I do it with my lipstick. Oh, I can't let the gentleman see me looking at anything but my mayors. it does absolutely flip my stomach. It just makes me think of hot colonial houses that really stink of lavender and loads of lace and ruching and, you know, and
who's for lemonade?
I know, and delicate social sort of, you know. Sir, you have spoken out of turn. Oh, Christ.
My brother has never consumed lithium in his life.
I will have my vengeance, sir. Awful, awful, awful.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We get a little Drew McIntyre after that one as well, and he starts off by just going, a big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the world.
It's so incongruous.
Oh God, this is the dead hand of fucking writers, isn't it? You know, that they kind of go, we want to get over that he's such a big baby face and that people are going to be sitting at home just going, I thought he was big and tough, but he loves his mum and he's right about mums. I love my mum. he's so respectful. Mum, come in here. Come and watch what Drew McIntyre's son
saying about the mums.
The mums. Just corny old shit. Mm. I don't want wrestlers, you know, giving me reminders of fucking Hallmark card dates. I want them to fight. It's just, you know, oh, see, it's the Battle of the Boyne, everyone, because I have an iPhone.
Why do they always remind you of the Battle of the fucking Boyne?
Is that what I don't know what it is. What is the Battle of the Boyne?
Battle of the Boyne. Let's have a look here. Bank holiday.
Is it something to do with the Orange Men?
It's something to do with the King William III and the... Yeah, it's Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't want to fuck about with that.
No, they're very much... I bet that's the thing of... there's loads of people who go, can we get rid of the thing that flashes up saying the Battle of the Boyne?
And no,
then there's loads of people...
Oh, let's see, I'm Scottish now. A big shout out to all the Jacobites out there.
Yeah. Well, we can get rid of this Battle of the Boyne thing, but the problem is... There will be a civil war. So we're keeping it.
They're a robot.
I am going to wrestle Sting. But then, yeah, after the R-Truth match, you get a quick one with Baron Corbin, who is doing a thing. He's sort of, I don't know where he is. I was thinking he's at his home. It's quite, it's easy to get the sort of, he's dressed a bit like a Game of Thrones king.
Yeah.
And those things are, you can get one of those banners quite easily. And it's a bare brick wall. I've seen inside his house before, because on Twitter he has a lot of barbecues. And it doesn't look like that.
Big enough, right.
It doesn't look like his house, right. You know. I was thinking, is it one of those medieval themed restaurants that was so big in America?
Oh,
in the 80s?
Goes, can I come after work and after you are finished and just take a couple of pictures?
It would have been locked down as well, and you're like, oh, it's empty, so can I come in? And they're like, you know, yeah, I guess. You know, but those ones that you only ever see in like 1980s comedy films, where there'd be a scene where they go out for dinner and it would be someone standing up and going, you know, prepare yourselves to see King Henry VIII joust. Yeah. And everyone would be sitting around.
And we all have a big leg.
Theme restaurants don't happen anymore, do they?
No. I've said it before. There was a terrible one. In America, Sunso's Last Resort. We've spoken about it before, so apologies if this is a repeat. But you go in and the staff just insult the fuck out of you. Theme is, it's an horrible place, and the staff insult you.
Yeah.
There was this family sat down, and we were just having a beer at the bar, and the guys have just been insulting to everyone. It's quite funny, quite amusing. Like, yeah. Are you going to fucking tip me or what? Are you gonna, like, really offensive, really so. And this little family there, little girls there, and everyone's kind of, the staff write something offensive on your hat. You've got this big paper hat.
Got you.
And they write, you fucking prick. You know that. And this little girl sat down, and the fucking server wrote flat chest. Unlike this kid couldn't have been older than about 12. It was so offensive. I kid think about it so much.
I mean,
flat chest.
What did you expect?
She's fucking 12.
You came here knowing that's what we do. Why are you came somewhere that you're like, oh, they offend you.
Yeah.
Now you're offended and you're gonna complain. Well, bully for fucking you. You know? Oh mate. Themed restaurants are strange. I don't really think we particularly had any around here, did we? I know occasionally they're
like Planet Hollywood
one.
Was that like a thing?
No, that was just like memorabilia. Gump,
yeah.
That Bubba Gump shrimp company one. But
I guess nowadays we have things like, you know, you have like those kind of interactive stage shows like Back to the Future and stuff and Bum Bum
There
Train.
Are a but couple of not, weird really... bars that are like, oh, it's in a World War II bunker and they all dress as, you know, I mean, they just wear olive clothes.
And
or
if you want access, to the speakeasy, you're like, it's this fridge, right? And you knock on it and you go, pick up this phone, it's in the fridge, right?
But those aren't themes, are they? Because those are just like... Those are just like, oh, it's got a funny door.
Yes, yeah.
I want to go to a Smurf themed bar. I want everyone dressed as Smurfs. Yeah. I want the men with their tops off, coloured blue.
Every night.
Absolutely. I want a wizard Gargamel to come down at 8 o'clock on the hour.
Yeah.
And he starts chasing the waiting staff around with a net. And he's got a big Azrael cat. And that runs about.
You know a lot more about Smurfs than me. I have not a clue.
I know Gargamel and Azrael. Right. And that is
very European.
Limit.
You're so European.
Lestrumpf. Lestrumpf. That's what they are in France. In the original French. we go through to a next match, which is SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley versus Tamina Snuka. Bayley's so good, Pete.
Bayley is so good.
So good. She was the greatest performer of the lockdown era. Mm. She was a shit-talking, sort of arrogant heel, but one who could wrestle.
Yeah.
She had a thing of not being a chicken shit coward heel or a cheater. She was just a mouthy shit who could then really intelligently get the job done.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect match that she's in. I don't think I've ever enjoyed a Tamina Snuka match, and I enjoyed the shit out of this match because Bayley is just, it's all about her, and she just doesn't do anything other than be at the very top of her game.
I was sort of expecting, because we spoke about the Sasha and Bayley thing before, where you can tell that Sasha's going to turn at some point.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to happen in this match. So I kept
and that's
expecting
that's
it.
The beauty of that long-running thing is you kept expecting it and they kept holding off on it.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautifully sort of worked long game that they did finish too quickly. They should have gone through all the way to WrestleMania. They're so good. I mean, Sasha Banks comes in after the match is over. Bayley pins Tamina with a crucifix pin that is one of the best crucifix pins you'll ever see. Mm. It properly looks like... it's tight and unbreakable.
Mm.
Really, really good. And Sasha Banks runs in wearing, I mean, essentially like, I mean, it makes me feel quite queasy, the idea of having to put the trousers on that she's put on.
Oh, the red trousers.
So that's like, so, can I have a pair of trousers slightly tighter than my skin?
It's like, yeah, they're very restricted.
Very.
It's like definite powder would have to be applied to, yeah, to get them over your shins.
Oh, completely. I mean, it just looks like sort of like, it looks like paint.
A lot, of just gone on. A lot of lasses' clothes look uncomfortable, to be fair.
It's a patriarchy, isn't it? It's just, a patriarchy.
You're not allowed pockets and everything's fucking tight.
They have the two things with women where they say you can either have the dresses, which, as a man, I envy. I'd love to wear a muumuu around. But then, you know, you can see, like, for example, in the Middle East, they've gone, oh, no, we'll have that.
Yeah, we'll have that. We'll have that. That's allowed.
But, I mean, poor women. It's either you get the goodness of the skirt, or you get what Sasha Banks is in, which is we will dip you in candle wax,
yes,
and then you can go out.
Yeah, dry off.
But she does a knee and she's in high heels that are, you know, 8 inches tall.
Mm.
And after she does the knee, she sort of, you know, one of them clicks and she goes over.
Mm.
And she gets back up and she just says to Tamina Snooker, "You broke my heel." And she slaps her as hard as she can in the face. It's the heel isn't broken, she just stacked it.
Yeah.
But all of it is just perfect. The very fact that they're in a position where they're so confident that when she falls over, she doesn't go, "Hope no one saw it." She just goes, "Oh, right, roll with it. Happy, happy, happy." And the two of them, after the match, they go over to the commentators and just start going, you see what it's all about? Did you enjoy that, isn't it?" And they're just, they know exactly what they're doing, and it's a delight to watch.
Yeah.
Bayley is the hero of the lockdown era for me. She's so good. And you can see in this match, she had it going from the moment it started.
Mm.
She just clicked with it immediately. Oh,
definitely.
So exciting.
Fantastic.
And then you get a Seth Rollins promo.
He
thinks he's being intense. He's being a bit dull. but when he's reading it, he's memorized the lines, and that is the most obvious thing here, that it's not coming from a natural place. And he is really sort of going, "Drew McIntyre, when I get into the ring with you." And I was thinking, it's weird, because if he was on stage in a play and he was acting like that, he had a monologue like that, you would go, "Fucking hell, this is bad. This isn't acting," you know. And it's just weird when you see it on television and you suddenly sort of go, "No one speaks like this.
No, this is unacceptable.
It really isn't this. Good. It really isn't good." I thought that was, he's just hammy.
Yeah.
Really.
But he's always
hammy.
Been like that, hasn't he? Every time I've seen him, he's kind of been doing that.
Yeah, he's, it's hard to know how history will go and remember him, really.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, where he's one of the A-listers, it seems very odd to sort of go, "I don't like this facet of him." But I just think you'll go back and you'll, you know, maybe someone will discover wrestling in 20 years' time and they'll go back and they'll go,
"What's this mess? Who's that guy?
Yeah, this guy, he's not very good at these.
Chewing the scenery."
Yeah.
Why did they make him do it so much?
Don't know. I mean, it's that thing of going, "Well, all our main eventers are good speakers."
Mm.
But then you've sort of gone, "Yeah, but he's a main eventer. You don't have to make him speak."
He's the exception that proves the rule, surely.
Yeah, very true. We're going to have just one more match. Let's quickly get it in, shall we?
Yeah, squeeze in.
Yeah, it's Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman. Mm. So, as I said last episode, someone at the live show did say, you know, "So you like Bray Wyatt now, do you? Because you shouldn't. You know, this is madness." And I thought, well, this is the test, really. This is the test, watching this match, knowing that I've seen the WrestleMania 36 Cena one.
Yeah.
Do I actually like Bray Wyatt? And I think the answer is yeah. I do.
I've come back round as well, to be honest. You kind of warned me off him a little bit, and not knowing wrestling that well, I'm like going, "Oh, well, Mark knows it all. But I'm like, "Oh, I like this though."
But do you know what? I just don't think I like The Fiend.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because The Fiend, because he's got that big mask on, it could be anyone.
Mm.
You know, there's nothing unique about it. And when you see this match, which is Bray Wyatt, and it's partly Bray Wyatt, really, because A, they wanted to make the next cinematic match they'll do at Extreme Rules The Fiend versus Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
But also they were like, there's no point having a Fiend entrance with no crowd or in not a cinematic way. Mm. That seems like a waste. So he can beat Bray Wyatt, and then Bray Wyatt goes, "Okay, but can you beat The Fiend?"
Yes.
It just extends this thing. But as he comes out as Bray Wyatt, you know, his children's TV presenter sort of role, you just realise a lot of his appeal is his brilliant facials.
Yeah.
And his ability to tell a story and what he's going through by using his face.
And without a crowd, you can really focus on that as well. I think he's really, really good at this.
He is really, really good. He's confident and he entirely has the pace of the match. And anything that's interesting about this match stems from him.
Yeah.
You know, he's really good. What it also made me realise is I cannot stand Braun Strowman. I just don't.
Well, he's got nothing, hasn't he, compared to. But that's kind of the character, isn't he? He's a big dumb kind of henchman for yeah, Rob Wyatt.
But the issue with that is not a babyface, and there's nothing that Braun Strowman does. He's such a bad good guy.
Yeah.
In that he is like not charming. He's not warm. He's not friendly. He's not dashing. He's doesn't seem to have any weaknesses. Mm. He's a big, powerful like bully. His gimmick is just like being an unfriendly big man who is absolutely confident of damaging his smaller opponent. he growls, he sort of roars. He's got camo trousers on like he's a military experiment. What is your gimmick? You had all summer to work it out.
Work it out.
And he's too big for his opponent to do anything with.
Yeah.
So you don't really get peril. Because he just has to occasionally lumber around. The other thing I noticed in this match, his head is about 50% bigger than Bray Wyatt's.
Even when he puts the mask on.
Yeah.
Big Hotline Miami mask.
The head is a key thing about whether you can be a good guy or a bad guy.
Yeah.
And if your head is too big, you can only be a bad guy.
Andre managed it, though.
Oh, he did, but that was because he was old and then his head was too big. And you went, aw.
Oh, no.
But that sort of, that big old head, it just makes you look like you're not quite human. And if you're not quite human, you can't be a good guy. Bray Wyatt, you did send me a WhatsApp, which is 100% correct, that he looks very much like the comedian Stuart Lee.
His eyes are exactly the same as Stuart Lee's eyes. So when he's kind of like on the mat, he looks like Stuart Lee.
Yeah.
It's astonishing.
Why would you cover up the one wrestler you have who looks like Stuart Lee in a mask?
That's his Richard Herring mask.
As this match goes on, the basic sort of storyline is that Bray Wyatt wants Braun Strowman to come back into the Wyatt family, which is how he originally debuted. Mm. He wants the black sheep of the family to return because Wyatt used to wear a black sheep mask.
Mm.
Basically, Wyatt is also saying that when you come back, the thing you'll do is give me the championship belt because that you know then we can do things right, that sort of thing. I'll be the leader again. And on goes the mask. It's amazing how when the mask goes on and Braun Strowman tilts his head, you just go, this is better.
Than what you were doing it
for. Didn't have the mask
on. You're more
on.
Of a face.
I am more interested in this, and I think it's a better character already than that.
Yeah.
And, of course, like the WWE, they just egg these things so much. Yeah. So Wyatt is overjoyed.
And Wyatt is doing his best.
He is.
In a bad situation.
He really is. And he works it as hard as he can, and he is delighted that the black sheep is back. He is joyful. We've seen the puppets as well pop up, and the puppets are shite. They pop up by the the audience barriers. There's the buzzard and the Huskus the pig. And the worst bit in this match is Bray Wyatt is doing all he can. And then there's a series of quick camera shots to all the puppets. Mm. And the turkey and the doll both go, "You did it, Bray!" And then
the doll's got such a funny voice.
And Huskus goes, "Hooray!" And the best bit is, I think the first one to pop up is Huskus.
Yeah.
And Huskus. And Huskus pops up.
But the thing that gets me is, it's like, there's no, in this match, unless I'm very wrong, like, they never get introduced as part of
it.
It's just a beer. And all right, if you know it already, fine. But if you're just a casual viewer, that's the first thing, what the fuck is going on here?
And Huskus comes up and he sort of goes, "You can do it, Bray." And I was thinking, what that is the default voice that if someone goes, give a puppet a voice, you go, "Oi, hello, hello.
I am a frog, I'm a frog.
I am a doll." Whatever it is, you just go for that weird Mexican one. And when Huskus goes, "You can do it, Bray," I was like, no thought has gone into this. None at all.
Absolutely none.
The rabbit peeps about. How anyone is like, this will, you know, this is the sort of thing that people might go, "Do you know what? I didn't think wrestling was for me." But now I've seen the rabbit puppet go, "Nim, nim, nim, nim." It really is very good. But Pete, oh no, it was just mind games.
Oh, mind games, mate.
It was a
big trick from Big Brawny.
Yeah, Braun takes off the mask, he stamps on it, he does a power slam, and he pins Bray Wyatt. And I don't know what it was about this, but as it sort of ended, I was like, I feel stupid. I feel stupid that a company thinks that I would watch that ending and just go, that was brilliant. And I felt sort of so out of touch with it. I just sort of thought, I'm sitting here watching this and I feel stupid. I feel like an idiot has gone ta-da, and I've just gone, oh, you don't know what to say. But I've got no one to blame but myself. Didn't need to be here. And then off goes Braun, the good guy, grumpily stamping up the ramp and furious and brooding, and he roars with his eyes open as well. I mean, it's just, how is that supposed to be a good guy? Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. And then you get a little bit of static, we go, and it's the fiend. It's flashes
the fiend.
Up.
It's the fiend.
Oh, what's going to thing? I feel stupid.
And when there's the bit where Strowman's standing up and Wyatt's sort of like celebrate, like, you know, and it's all quiet, and you just get about 30 seconds of where no one's talking.
Yeah.
In the you can really hear the commentators, you know, McMahon or someone.
The
just
feedback.
Going, I don't do this. Talk about this.
I wonder if it is Huskus has got into the headset. Tell everyone that this was a very good match.
I very much enjoy the choke slam from Strowman and Wyatt, though. Really put him to the fucking floor on that one. I was like, that was chunky.
Completely. And you know, after sort of months of main events involving The Fiend, it's only when you see Bray Wyatt back that you go, actually, Bray Wyatt is really good.
Yeah.
And it's just a case of, if you gave him the right thing to do and you didn't stick him in these bloody things where they end with them having to go, you know, will you join with the flock? Then, you know, he could have been a great asset. Mm. But instead, they let that guy go. Mm. And I hope he goes on to
do a BBC 2 special. Like some...
I hope he and the pig get married. Oh, fantastic work.
All right, then.
Look, until next week, we've been Wrestle Me. We've got a Patreon. You can go over there and you can enjoy the goodness that will bring you.
Mm. Get it in your ears.
Yeah, do. And, you know, and actually fucking go and do it now. Had enough. Had yeah, enough of you not doing it.
I'm fucking about, right?
Yeah,
lads.
Come on. Grow up. Wrestle Me, mate.
Wrestle Me, mate.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.